part of Christmas series, but this morning I want to start by asking a question. How many of you have somebody in your life that it's just kind of hard to get along with? I like that laugh. Are you kidding, right? You know the person that just, if they ask you to pass the salt, it makes you reconsider. You know, you just not sure you want to do that for them. There are people that are just naturally kind of grating on our senses. And the truth of the matter is that probably you see something in them that you don't like in yourself, that you need to work on yourself, that you see exemplified in their lives, that kind of sets you off a little bit. Now, you just don't react to that. Just think about it and kind of consider that, okay? I see some of you giving me the skunk eye on that one, but that's all right. You can do that. You know, we're going to get together with family members. How many of you have family members that... Oh, nobody's raising their hand on that one. Thought I could trick you on that one, but I didn't do it. You know, the Bible talks about getting along with people, and especially in the church. The church should be the place where people get along with each other the best in the world. But that needs to overflow into our lives outside the church also. And we're going to talk about how to get along with almost anyone. Now, I understand it takes two to tango, okay? It takes two people that want to get along to get along, but the Bible tells us as followers of Christ that we are to do everything in our power to make that happen and to be people that get along with each other. It's our responsibility to do that. I came across a study that talked about behaviors that make it hard to get along. These are things that are kind of toxic to any kind of relationship that we have. And one of them is acting annoyed. Acting annoyed is toxic to relationships. You know, things like eye rolling or sighing loudly or, you know, non-verbally expressing kind of our annoyance, looking away, not paying attention to somebody. Those things are toxic to relationships. Being disrespectful with your words or actions. I hate that. That can be very demeaning sometimes if used in the proper context and used in the right situation. It can do a lot to slap people down. That's so stupid. You know, just disrespectful things that we do. Not paying attention when someone is speaking. Not paying attention to what they're saying. Not looking them in the eyes and paying attention when they're speaking. Raising your voice. Being unresponsive. All of these things are annoying things that make it hard to get along. And undermining others. Speaking negatively of others. That's probably, you know, this is the one that really, I think, manifests itself in our culture today, is talking about others negatively. This happens in marriages that people will joke about their spouse and kind of make fun of them publicly. And that's never a good idea. It's not a good thing to do. And unfairly criticizing another person's attributes or actions, or sabotaging someone's project or reputation. The workplace today is a place where you really have to watch your back. You have to really watch out what's going on around you to make sure that you're not being taken advantage of. It makes it very hard to get along with people if you cannot trust them or if they cannot trust you. Those are all things that make it difficult to get along with each other. But there's a verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 18. And it's very short, it's very clear, it's very succinct. It comes in the middle of a section that Paul is talking about the things that he wanted them to do, the church at Rome to do. But it just says this: do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Now, I know what's going on in your mind as we say that verse. You're thinking, wait a minute, if I do that, I'm going to get taken advantage of. If I do that, people are going to make fun of me. They're going to take advantage of my good graces. But I want you to look at this verse. Let's break it down a little bit. It says do. Do is an action word. It means that you have to do something, right? Do is an action word. It means that you have to take action. you know, it's very easy to let the other guy come forward and say things like, well, if they will treat me nice, then I'll treat them nice. If they respect me, I'll respect them. You know, we've got a good saying in our culture today is that you earn respect. And there's some truth in that. I understand that. But the truth of the matter is, if you want to get respect, you've got to give respect also. And the Bible says that we should respect each other just because we're made in the image of God. That demands some amount of respect in and of itself. So do something. And then it says, all that you can. It's not just do a little bit or do your part. You know, we say that a lot too. I'm going to do my part. Well, your part is to do everything that you can. Make every effort, whatever it takes. Put aside pride and place. Back down. Carry the coat the extra mile. All of that kind of stuff is necessary to do everything that's necessary to make peace with people around you. In Matthew 5, Jesus kind of sets the bar high. Listen to what he says. He says, but I say to you, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. If you're sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat too. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. Give to those who are sick, who ask. Don't turn away from those who want to borrow. That Jesus always sets the bar higher in our behavior patterns and how he wants us to live in separation from the world. The world says, the world culture says, watch out for yourself, cover yourself, make sure that you're taken care of, and then maybe you can give some to other people. But the Bible says, think of others more highly than yourself. Jesus thought more highly of us than himself. And the expression of that, of course you know this, the expression of that was when he went to the cross, stretched out his arms and died for you and I. We didn't deserve that. We hadn't earned that. We could never earn that. And so Christ in his love and his compassion did that for us. And then it says, do all that you can. Do all that you can. You've got to take responsibility for living at peace with those around you. Do all that you can. It doesn't say do all that you can, and then they'll do all that they can. It says take responsibility for it yourself to live at peace with those that are around you. I want to suggest 3 or 4 things this morning that we need to work on in our lives to become more peaceful in our existence with people around us. I want to live at peace with those around us, you know, and it's so important. It stress is such a killer in our society today. You know, we need to have peace in our lives. Christ told his disciples, he said, peace I give unto you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives peace do I give you. I give you my peace, he said. And that's a peace that rises above the circumstances. That's a peace that doesn't depend upon circumstances to be perfect. When all around you is giving way, you need to rise up and act like Jesus in the middle of all of that stress and discord. And the first thing, very practically minded, that I want to encourage you to do is to listen more than you speak. One of the biggest things that you can give, biggest gifts that you can give a person is your attention and the listening ear. Now, we live in a culture that values the quick comeback. One of the things that we like to do is be able to say something. We've got to answer them all the time or have an anecdote that matches theirs or something like that. When the best thing that you can do many times is simply listen. I was a young pastor just starting out in ministry. This is 30 years ago, maybe even more than that. Oh my, I'm older than I thought. I just aged right here in front of you. But I was a young pastor, I was a youth pastor at the time, and the pastor assigned me, he was going to be out of town, couldn't do a funeral of a church member, and I had to do my first funeral. And I was kind of freaking out. I went to a seasoned pastor, a retired pastor that I really respected, and I just asked him, what should I do? And the first thing he told me was, he said, there will come a day, young man, when you will look forward to doing funerals more than weddings. And I said, you're crazy. I you know, weddings are fun. But you know what? I love doing funerals today. I just love it. Now that sounds strange, I know, but there is an opportunity for the gospel to be preached, and there is a reality that happens at the time of someone's passing that you don't get ever again. There are people that are going to be in church listening to the gospel that would never darken the doors at other times. There are people whose mind is focused on listening and finding answers. Is this all there is? Because you're faced with it. It's right there in front of you. I just went way off track. But he said the second thing that you need to do is just be there. Just be there. Don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to answer all the questions. If you don't know the answer, just say, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. But just being there is enough for most people. They just want to know that you're there. Don't try to be eloquent. Don't try to have all the answers. If the Holy Spirit speaks through you, let Him speak. But for the most part, just listen. It says in James 1:19 through 21, it says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Three great pieces of advice from James. Be quick to listen. Hear what they're saying. You know, we've got it in our minds. This is a common occurrence that happens in communication skills. When I work with couples, excuse me, communication, one of the things that we have to do is to learn to listen to each other, called active listening, where you just listen to what they're saying, you repeat back what they just said. You know, I really get angry when you look at me that way. Well, your natural response is to say something really cute like, this is the best look I got, honey, better get used to it. Right? But active listening repeats back to them what they just said. You really don't like it when I look at you that way? Yes, I really don't like it when you look at me that way. That way you have confirmed that you've heard what they have to say and communication has taken place. Be listening to people around you. Some people just need a listening ear. They don't need the answers. They don't need anything else. Proverbs 10:19 says this, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. The Bible says that. Isn't that neat? The Bible says shut up. In the New Living Translation. But that's a truth of life. We need to listen more and talk less. And try to hear what people are saying. There is some kind of relief that comes, especially in intimate relationships, with knowing that you have been allowed to speak and that you have been heard. Even if you don't agree, you need to listen to what other people are saying. You need to listen. Number two, don't try to change people. If you want to get along with people, don't run around being Dr. Fixer-Upper. I'm going to make you a better person. I'm going to carefully and lovingly point out all of your flaws and show them to you so that you can see them clearly, and then we'll work together to make you a better person. Don't you just love being around people like that? Doesn't that just drive you nuts? You know, there are two things that you can do instead of trying to fix somebody. There are two things that you can do to make that happen without ever really doing it. And number one is to be the example that you want them to be. Make sure that your own eye is clear of motes before you point out the beam in your brother's eye. Or is it the other way around? I think it's the other way around, isn't it? Don't point out the mote in your brother's eye before you take the beam out of your own eye. You want to make sure that your life is first before God. You know, there's a maxim that says, I've got so much to work out of my own life, I don't have time to be fixing other people. And that's really a truism. Now, the Bible does talk about confronting sin, usually among leadership, usually among in a setting that is very strict and lined out by Scripture. But for the most part, what we are talking about are little personality quirks and little flaws in things that you don't like, you personally don't like. They're not necessarily sin. They're just something that you don't like about them. You know, the way some people talk. The way some people stand, the way they look at you, whatever it is. But be an example. In 1 Corinthians 10:31-11:1, it says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not give offense to the Jews or Gentiles or the church of God. I too try to please everyone in everything that I do." Well, that sounds countercultural, doesn't it? I too try to please everyone in everything that I do. I don't just do what's best for me. I do what's best for others so that many may be saved, and you should imitate me as I imitate Christ. Two thoughts here about being example to others. First of all, you have to have their interests at heart. Most of the time when we want somebody to change, it's for our benefit. We want to feel better about them. We don't want to have to put up with any annoying little habits that they have. And so for us to feel better, you need to change. Now, do you see the vicious cycle that happens in that? As soon as that gets taken care of, something else pops up. And you spend your whole life trying to change somebody, and it doesn't work. And then he says, "You should imitate me just as I imitate Christ." We should be trying to live lives that are so much like Jesus. Now listen to this. We should be trying to live lives that are so much like Jesus. If somebody chose to imitate us, they would be like Jesus too. And Paul said that. He said, if you imitate me, I am confident that I am all sold out for Christ enough that if you imitate me in my concern for others, in my concern for those that are around me, more than myself, you are going to make it. You're going to be all right. You're going to be more like Jesus. Now, let's all do a little gut check here a minute and ask ourselves, wow, is that true for me? Jesus doesn't set the bar low. He sets the bar high. He asks us to do things that we don't want to do. That, you know, this, I'm going to get on my hobby horse again. This idea that Christianity is for weak-willed people that can't make it on their own is just so much bunk. Jesus calls us to a higher standard of living and to go against our flesh and to take up our cross and bear it and walk with Him. Those are not easy things to do. And Christ calls us to be an example. You can't be Charles Barkley. I ain't no role model. He said that. Yes, you are, Charles. Whether you want to be or not, people are watching you, especially on the stage that you have. We're all role models. We all should be role models. Well, we all are role models. The question is, are we good ones or bad ones? So number one, be an example. Number two, this is a big one. Listen to this. Let the Holy Spirit do His job. Instead of trying to change them, pray for them. Ask the Holy Spirit to change them. It says in John 16:7-9, Jesus was getting ready to leave. He's getting ready to go back to heaven. He's telling His disciples that He's going to leave them. And they're all upset and they're worked up because He's going to leave them. And Jesus says, "But in fact, it's best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, won't come. And if I do go away, then I will send Him to you." And then look at verse 8. It says this, "When He comes, He will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment." It is the Holy Spirit's job to convict people of sin. And if you take the two things that we're talking about, being an example and letting the Holy Spirit do His job, you have created a powerful force of influence in people's lives that you are integrated with. Now, there's a third relationship that we're not going to talk about this morning, but it is fellowship. It's relationship that goes with this. When you put those things together, example, Holy Spirit, and relationship, you're already in a trusting, loving relationship. That is a powerful mode of transformation in the lives of people. But let the Holy Spirit do His job. I think I've told this story before, but there was a fella in the church that I pastored before that came. I was on staff at that church, and the fella came, and, you know, we're Assembly of God. We don't drink, we don't smoke, we don't chew, we don't do all that stuff. We got our checklist of rules that we have. He said facetiously, by the way, okay? But, you know, drinking was a real no-no back then. It still is in my book right now, but we'll talk about that another time. And this guy got saved, and God just really, we'd been praying for this guy for years that he would get saved. His wife was praying for him, his kids were praying for him, and he came to church one Sunday and just gave his heart to God, you know, just a God thing, that he just gave it up. And a bunch of people went up to the pastor afterwards and they said to him, "Now, listen, now that he's saved, you got to talk to him about his job." What was his job? He drove a beer truck. He drove a beer truck. And he said, "You know, you got to talk to him about that, pastor, because Christians shouldn't be driving beer trucks." And the pastor very wisely looked those people in the eye and he said, "It's not my job to tell him to quit his job. It's the Holy Spirit's job to do whatever he wants to do in his life." 3 weeks later, the guy came to the pastor. He said, "I need some help. I'm going through a difficult time." He said, "I think God wants me to quit my job. I just don't feel right, you know, driving a beer truck. I just can't make those two things intersect in life." And the pastor said, "Thank you, Jesus." He said, "If I had told him to quit his job, he'd be mad at me. But the Holy Spirit does everything well. He does it right." And so if there's somebody that you're not getting along with, somebody that you're having difficulty with, my advice to you is, number one, be the example you want them to be. And number two, pray that the Holy Spirit does the work of change in them. He can do it. He can do it. Billy Graham said, "It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict, it's the Father's job to judge, and it's my job to love." It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict, it's the Father's job to judge, and it's my job to love. Love will cover a multitude of sins, the Bible says. So, the third thing that you need to do to get along better with people is to be positive. Be a positive person. Don't be a person that always looks on the dark side of things and that kind of thing. It says in Philippians 4:8, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." Where does your mind dwell? Where does your mind dwell on things? Are you a person that sees the black lining in every silver cloud? Are you the kind of person that just can't help but see the flaws in the plan all the time and it's never going to work, it's never going to happen, I don't know why? You know, that's such a negative mindset. Psalm 19:14 says, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Those are things that we need to put, you know, just be a positive person. Examine your heart. Examine your life. Are you positive in your outlook? Are you full of faith? You know, a heart that's filled with faith can't help but be positive. Faith looks on the, no faith looks on the negative things all the time. It's never going to happen. It's never going to come to pass. God's not going to answer that prayer, or God's going to answer that prayer in a way that I won't like. Ever been there? God answered the prayer this way. This is how I want it. Faithlessness is always negative. Faith-filled life is positive. And there's one thing that I would tell you to make yourself a more faithful person is get into the Word. The Word is full of faith. The Word of God builds faith in your life. I don't know how many of you are planning to do this or are doing it now, but I love the idea of reading through the Bible in a year. You were coming up onto a new year in January, and a good New Year's resolution to keep is one that says, "I'm going to read through the Bible in a year. I'm going to read through the God's Word in 1 year." If you can, there are plans on the internet all over the place to do that, and you can do it in a year. But get into the Word. Make it part of your life. Get into it. I've read through the Bible I don't know how many times because I try to do it every year. And most years I am able to accomplish that. Every once in a while I'll go off plan and I'll take 3 months and just read the book of Romans as many times as I can, or the book of, you know, a book of Jeremiah or something like that, as many times as I can in a month or 2 months, just to put some variety into it. But get into the Word. Read the Word. Make it part of your life. So be a positive person. And the fourth thing that you need to be in order to get along with people is you need to be a giver, not a taker. Be a giver, not a taker. There's something in our culture today that that has made us into a nation of takers. This whole political thing that we're going through right now is, how much can the government give me? How much can the government do for me? You know, all of that kind of stuff. That can get toxic if the government becomes your source. And one of the hardest things that we have to do as the body of Christ is to get it into our minds that God has called us to be givers, not takers. It says in Romans 15, 1 through 3, "We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. We should not please ourselves. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. For even Christ didn't live to please himself. As the scriptures say, the insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me." I want to draw your attention to verse 3. "For even Christ didn't live to please himself." Even Christ didn't live to please himself. We have to develop a mindset of others. That is so fundamental to becoming a fully formed follower of Jesus Christ, is to think of others more than yourself. I want to read to you a story written by a pastor. I don't know him. I came across this as I was studying for this message. But it talks about a pastor who had been hurt. He had a fellow in his church that he just could not get along with, and they had done him wrong and harm. But he says, "Some time ago, I was having lunch at McDonald's with my daughter and my mother-in-law. We were enjoying a pleasant conversation when a man with his wife and children plopped down at a nearby table. The man was someone who in the past had hurt me. We faked pleasantries and exchanged hellos, but I could feel my blood beginning to boil at the thought of what he had done to me. This person had wounded me badly, and I was surprised about how much hurt I still felt. My family and I gobbled down our food on the way out of the restaurant. I overheard my enemy and his wife arguing because neither had enough money to purchase the food that they had ordered. Their kids were screaming for their Happy Meals. The couple was embarrassed by this. My first thought was, praise God there's justice in this world." Anybody can relate to that? "And then I heard, suddenly God spoke to me through the text I had read this morning. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, be at peace with everyone. God was saying to me, here's your chance to be set free of your pain and overcome your hurt. I knew I had a choice, either to obey or bask in my bitterness. Somewhat reluctantly, I reached into my wallet, pulled out a $20 bill, and gave it to this man who had been my enemy. 'Have lunch on me,' I said, with tears in my eyes." Being a giver can heal you of past hurts. Being a giver is one of the more difficult things that you will ever do, especially if you're naturally kind of tightwaddish. You know what I mean, right? You have to overcome that in the name of Jesus and become someone who is a giver of a heart. Jesus wants us to be generous people giving. Why? It's very simple. Because that's the nature of God. You're acting like God when you're a giver. You're acting like God when you are generous. And God wants us to act like Him. We forget that sometimes. God wants us to imitate Him. Well, you might be here this morning and wondering, well, what about me? Are you talking to me, Pastor? There's three things that I want to count as signals that maybe you're hard to get along with yourself. You know, if everybody else is hard to get along with, maybe the problem is you, not them. You see people as stupid and ignorant. You know, Lucy had her psychiatrist with, how many of you remember Peanuts cartoons? I don't know if they even run anymore, but growing up, I looked at them all the time. Lucy had a psychiatrist booth. She said, psychiatrist, 5 cents. Remember that booth that she had? And people would come up and tell her her problems. And one time she said, isn't it difficult listening to people's problems all day? She said, the problems aren't the problem. People are the problem. And many of us have that kind of attitude in our own lives. You know, I could get along great if it weren't for people. Sometimes pastors jokingly say that. My church would be great if it weren't for the people. You know, we don't like people. You got to love people. You've got to look at their lives through the lens of how they see it and see, you know, everybody acts the way they do for a reason. That's my famous saying. You can put it on my gravestone. Everybody acts the way they do for a reason. There is some hurt. There is some pain. There's some sorrow. There is something that is making them act like a jerk. And if we would just listen and hear what it is, and love them through it until it finally comes through, we would be a lot better off and we would get along a lot better. Maybe you're stingy and tight-fisted. Maybe you think your stuff is yours. And you have a hard time getting along because frankly, you're just not generous. You're not kind. You're not considerate to others. Maybe you see the dark lining in every cloud. I want you to know that this morning is the time to begin dealing with those things. We need to be listening to others. We need to be doing all of these things that we talked about in order to get along with others. And remember, it's up to you. As you go through this Christmas season, you're going to run into a lot of people. Some of them are not going to be very kind to you, especially if you're in the mall. Some of them are not going to be very giving to you. Some of them are not going to be very sweet to you. But I want you to give back to them the love of Jesus Christ. Christmas time is a great time for that. As we remember the real reason of Christmas, it's because Jesus Christ came and he lifted himself up on that cross and he died for you and I. The greatest act of sacrifice that there ever was is the cross of Jesus Christ. And we need to reflect that. As far as it is possible, do everything that you can to live at peace with those around you, with everyone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning as we close this time together, we ask you to come and to be in this place. And Lord, we pray that you would have your way among us this morning. God, I pray for this congregation, especially during this Christmas time, that as the Spirit of God rises up within us, Lord, that we would pay attention to Him, that we would listen to Him, that